service and the way they look after the customer starts from a person right at the top. The fish smells from the head down. So unless we all have a good look at ourselves to start with, look in the mirror and think, right, am I really customer focused? Am I really introducing the right values into this business in order to be a very customer focused organisation? Then we're always going to struggle to get our team to do it. There's no better example of that. We do quite a lot of work with big B2B businesses like alarm companies and all sorts, giving customer feedback. And there's no better when you go to one of those businesses and they've got their best car parking spaces are the directors right outside the front door. And you know instantly, before you even got there, that we have got a challenge to get them to appreciate what's important for the customer. Of course, they should be parked in the worst places and their customers should be parked there. It's just very significant as to the type of businesses we sometimes deal with. So let me just give you a few insights into the mystery shopping we conducted back in April and some things that you can do to actually ensure that you have a great experience. And as I say, this dovetails very nicely with what Paul was just talking about. These are the overall scores, and they might mean something to you. They will as we go through a presentation. So what we do, we sent in a mystery shopper to 40 butchers. Outside the shop, where we're looking at the presentation of the shop and the overall look and feel, it scored 88%. Inside the shop, again, was 88%. The service experience was 81%. Our observations were 70%. And overall, you scored 84%. Well, not you, but the butchers higher up in Scotland. Now, that means nothing to you until I go through it in more detail. But what is interesting is that when we take out of all of the data that we've got, and we do thousands of mystery shops every month in the UK, and we look just at butchery counters, the average score for a butchery counter in the UK is about 77%. So this figure here, you're actually above what is average across that. So all the farm shops we do, all the supermarkets, whatever it is we do with butchers in, you're actually above, which is great, really, really good. However, in all of this information, there's always some really, really good learning points, and they're the things that I'll come to now. Final question, all the reports we ask is, if this is your local store, would you be a regular customer? And throughout the 40 visits, 76% said yes, and 24% said no. 26% yes, 24% no. And what we'll do now is dive in and just look at why that might be. What are the things that actually happened? This, I'll let you think about that graph for a minute. It's one of the most powerful graphs, actually. Some of you will know Booth supermarkets in the northwest of England. We've worked with Booths, and they let us use this graph, actually. We've worked with Booths for 8 years. We mystery shop them every single month. In fact, we do a lot more than just mystery shopping now. But this graph is really powerful, because this talks about, this is the first month that we ever mystery shop Booths going into their stores. And the service experience went from 53% up to 96%. So basically what that is telling us is that as a brand, the consistency of service isn't high across the brand, because there's no point being brilliant 1 minute and being poor the next. That's pointless. You just want to be very good all of the time. Within a year of being mystery shops and measuring, you see how the gap closes up here? Which means that they were from 80% up to about 98%, which meant that the service experience had improved. Now, when you relate that to your sector, you are only as good as the weakest butcher in Scotland or the UK. Because if someone goes into a butcher in Perth and they get a poor experience, that's going to reflect on all of you, because you are in it together. Yeah? So it's very important that as an organisation, association, all the butchers in Scotland get this gap as thin as they can, as high as they can, because that's a really good representative of your sector and what you're trying to achieve. So where does your first impression begin? Well, clearly the first impression begins, it could be on the phone, it could be on the website, but in your case, in what we did, it was about walking up to the actual practice, the actual butcher itself, so actually the actual store itself. And this is a good little story. This isn't one of your butchers, but this is actually a farm shop in Oxfordshire. And when we look about first impressions, this is one of the leading farm shops in Oxfordshire. And you'll see their name in a minute, and again, they're happy for me to show you this. This was their front door before we gave them some feedback. And on that front door, there were about 14 negative messages. 14 negative messages. And what happened over the years, one sticker went up, another one went up, another one went up, another one went up, and then someone on the right-hand side put a toilet roll. And these things just build, don't they? And if you look at your own windows, you look at your own, you'll see things that have been there for quite a long time. So we gave them some feedback. And that's what they did. Right, there's still some little signs, but there's a far less, and there's still the toilet roll. But actually, they've explained what it's for. To wipe your trolley down. Okay? So It's very important that when we look at our own business, we look at it through fresh eyes. Because this was a business that had done it for years and years and years, layered up the signs, and actually when you look at it, it wasn't retrospective of their business whatsoever. So, in your case, was the window attractive? When we looked at the windows on the butchers that we did, only in 62% of cases did we think that was the case. Which means that one of the really good things for you to do when you get back is actually one of the, what we call one of the best kept secrets, is actually walking in your customer's shoes. So a really good activity you can do with your team is in the morning, when you're not that busy, or try and send off one staff member at a time, is actually give your staff member a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, put a plus and put a minus, and ask them to walk down the street, approach the shop from every angle, writing down what looks good and what needs improving. Because I guarantee they never do it. I guarantee they never do it. That way, you're looking, you're walking through the customer in the customer's shoes, and you're getting an idea, a new, fresh perspective of what you look like. Your Christmas coming up, it's time to freshen it up a bit. And you will see things, I'm sure, that you think, God, do we really do that? Is the paint peeling? Are the windows dirty? Is the sign out of date? Does the display look empty? Nothing is, there's no signage? Whatever it might be, it's really, really worth a review. And getting your team involved, your team are the best. Are the best people to do that in many ways, because they'll come up with some really great ideas. When we go into businesses and we do training, we get them to do that. We send them out to have a look at it, and they come up with some wonderful things. And they always say, God, I didn't realise that looked like that on every single time. So it's a great activity to do when you get back to your stores. Self-promotion. What do farm shops and butchers have in common? As Paul said in his presentation, I'll tell you what it is, they are hopeless at actually promoting what they're really, really good at. Because for butchers, it's natural what you do. But for customers, it isn't. And you've got this really good opportunity. And if I just give you some statistics about the mystery shopping we did, was any of the following, this about signage, prominent either inside or outside the shop? Promoting the Scottish Federation of Meat Association. In less than half of the visits we did, was it promoted? Surely, being part of an association like that is something you should be really proud of. It should be something you're promoting. Promoting Scottish craft butchers, again, in less than half. Was there any signage to indicate homegrown, homemade produce? Only 61%. So how are you different to the supermarkets? Well, you're different because it's local and you can talk about it. All the things that Paul was talking about, you've got to promote it better. It's astonishing when we talk about farm shops for a minute. We walk into farm shops and they're growing all their own cattle, they're even growing their own veggies, they're doing pick your own, they're doing all sorts. And yet within the shop, they don't even mention it. There's nothing about it. That's the uniqueness. That's what you're all about. Was there any signage to indicate the shop sold local produce? Only in 57% of cases did that happen. And yet you go into supermarkets and they're going, this is British made, and they pump it into your face. They don't just say it's local, but they say it's British made. You've got to get better at that. It's really important. Personal experience. Name badges. Do you know about name? Let me tell you about name badges. Well, first of all, no one in your sector wears a name badge. And you might think, well, no, we don't wear name badges. And I'll tell you a little story. When I went to, when I was at Harrods in 85, yeah, everyone wore a name badge. All 6,000 staff have to wear a name badge. And when I went to Australia, one of the first talks I was asked to do at a conference was actually about Harrods to 350 independent supermarket owners. And I was talking about name badges, and I was saying, I'm really surprised when I go around your supermarkets and none of you wear name badges. And I was almost booed off stage. They looked at me as if I was from another planet. We don't do that here, mate. No, you've come all this way, you're wasting your time. We don't do name badges. But I know that name badges does have a massive effect. We know that out of the 300,000 mystery shops we've done, if you wear a name badge, you give a 12% better experience than if you don't wear a name badge, period. Because the staff member's got the name on and they feel more responsible. And secondly, the customer's perception is that this is a more personal experience because I know your name. After speaking at this conference, I went up to a little Aboriginal, sort of white stroke Aboriginal town called Wongan Hills, which is 4 hours north of Perth, and I walked into the supermarket run by a couple called Peter and Kathy Smith from Liverpool, believe it or not. Can you believe that? And I walked in, and all the staff had name badges on. And I said, well, I'm at a loss, because I've just spoken at this conference down in Perth, and I nearly got booed off the stage when I talked about wearing name badges. I said, oh, yeah, mate, absolutely vital. Everyone's got to wear a name badge.
And I said, well, how do you make sure they wear the name badge?
Oh, well, it's simple. We've got two spare badges. We've got Dick and we've got Fanny. And if they don't wear the name badge, they have a Dick for the day or a Fanny for the day. And it's ever so funny when two blokes forget their name badge. And you know, it's funny, because that very same sector, 8 years later, when I left Australia, I was invited back to that conference, and we mystery shopped all of them at that point. 96.5% of staff wore name badges. Isn't it amazing? You don't do it. So how are people going to get to know your staff if they don't know the name of your people? Now, you might say, well, we're all local. They know us all. But what about your new customers? What about the ones who aren't local? What about the ones you're trying to attract in, the sort of the X generation, the people that have passed the baby boomer stage? What about those people? Name badges are really important. And actually getting people, if your staff have got their name on and the customers know your name, you can quite rightly ask them their name, then you start the relationship, and then that whole love thing starts to happen, and that's how you create loyalty. So it's a really simple way. And when you go back and you go, right, we're going to have name badges, you'll have a little bit of resistance, of course you will. But I tell you what, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, it won't even be mentioned. You'll be onto something else. So please, do it. It is very, very important. Selling more. So let's talk a little bit about the statistics of selling more. So what percentage of times do you think the staff in the 40 mystery shops we did actually attempted to build a conversation? So you get order makers and you get order takers, don't you? Order takers, they don't do much really. They just take the order. Order makers are people who actually start building up a conversation and start building up an order, start talking about what it is. Now, as Paul said about turkeys, then what a great story. You know, there's some brilliant facts you had there that all your team should be talking about. Well, out of the 40 mystery shops, how many attempted to build a conversation? 74%. 74%, which actually isn't too bad. But what is quite interesting are the next statistics. So leading on for that, how many asked open-ended questions to identify needs? So the way you develop an order is ask lots of really, really good open-ended questions. How many people are you cooking for, and when is it for, and all those sorts of, all the open stuff. And in this case, it starts going down, you see, to 64%. So if you don't do this, you're never going to do that. This is where it starts, building rapport. And it's about asking really, really great questions. And then the final one, which is the crux, where they can actually attempt to upsell in a nice, personable way, it drops to 33%. So only 33% of all the interactions we had in the 40 butchers in the Highlands and Islands, only in a third of cases were there any attempt to upsell the order. And an upsell the order is not a McDonald's thing, do you want fries with that? It is just creating a conversation, asking great questions and matching the answers to the questions to a solution. It is as simple as that. So when you're talking about turkeys and you've got the different varieties that Paul mentioned, for example, it's very easy. You can ask the right questions that can lead to giving the right solution, which is the better quality product. And then your margin is better, everything's better. Yeah? So talking about just going back to your store and actually saying to people, why do we build a conversation? How do we do it? And getting people to think about how to actually go about building a conversation. And the easiest way to do it is to talk about when you went out with your mate for a drink last night, what did you talk about? And how did that conversation lead on? And why is it your best friend your best friend? Your best friend's your best friend because they ask great questions about your life and what you're doing. That's how people are. That's why we like the people we like, because they take an interest in us. And it's exactly the same with our customers. If we ask good questions and take an interest in them, they like us. And if they like us, they come back to us. And then we can do this stuff and we can make more money, which is clearly what it's all about. Seeking some feedback, well, I could speak for hours about how to get feedback. You know, in your game, there's one very simple way of getting some really good feedback for your business. And it's actually to ask every customer two very simple questions. And that is, what do we do well? So you've been coming to us for a little while, what do you like about what we do? And they'll give you all the good stuff. And if you ask someone in Britain, and I've noticed this, if you say to them, what don't we do well? They won't tell you. They'll fold their arms and go, oh, there's nothing really. Now in Australia, if you say, what don't we do well? But you're there for hours. They'll tell you every single time, but we have a very different culture. So one question is, what do we do well? And the next one is, how can we improve? If it was you running this business, what are the things you would do to improve this business? And because they're very polite, they will give you some ideas and tips about the things that really matter to them as a customer. So again, getting your teams to do that is really important. Or indeed yourselves, just walking out with a customer and saying, you've been coming here for some time, what do you like about it? Why'd you come here? And then if you were me, what changes would you make? And you know, people will tell you. They will give you a feedback. And that feedback is what supermarkets pay hundreds of thousands of pounds every year to get. You can do it for nothing. And clearly mystery shopping is another way you can do it, but I'm not going to stand here and self-promote, but it's a very simple way of doing it. There's a final little exercise I'd like you to do. And this is an exercise that you can do when you're back with your team. There's a post-it note on the table. Just grab a post-it note, please. Just get a post-it note, please. This will wake you all up. Have you got one? Get a post-it note. And on the post-it note, I'd like you to write that. PMMFS. PMMFS. Just write PMMFS. Alright? Now once you've done that, just hold it in your right hand, just like this. Just let me see that for a minute. Okay? And then what I want you to do, and this is never done this with a load of butchers, this could be interesting, I've got to tell you. What you then do is you stick it on your forehead like that. So if it sticks, stick it on your forehead. I hope it does stick. We just ordered 50,000 of these things, so I hope it does stick. It does just about. No. Stick it on your forehead. And when you... You could take a photo. Yeah, do. Yeah, so good. Take as many as you like. Stick it on your forehead. This stands for... Every customer's got this on their head. So this could be your staff member, because they're a customer to you. It could be your paying customers, browsers, whoever it is, yeah? This stands for, please make me feel special. Please make me feel special. So now what we're going to do, very simply, is I want you to turn to the person next to you. This is going to be hysterical. I'm loving it. And just say something to the person next to them and make them feel special. So I'll give it a go. Don't look at me like that.
You're going to reach for the ball,
You've always answered my questions whenever I've asked them.
Yeah, well, I think you write some fantastic stuff. It's very clear and concise, yeah.
Pretty good.
Now what is really interesting about that activity is that if you stand there looking at you, what are the two things that you did? You smiled, you laughed, and you had a bit of fun. So actually, if your staff, if your team think that every customer who walks into your business has that written on their head, and really, really train your staff to say, right, what are the things you can say to make every customer feel special? Which could be something as simple as it's a lovely jacket, or your hair looks lovely, or that's a nice tie, or I saw you down the street the other day, you must have had a great weekend, or whatever it is. But to say that to every customer, that is really good stuff. Because your competition will never get anywhere near this. We know they don't even get anywhere near it. So please, making people feel special is what it's all about. And Charles Darwin said, the species that survived were not the most intelligent, but they were the most adaptable to change. And in service, in customer service, it is all about change. It is all about keeping ahead by constantly changing and improving. And you know, if you do the same old thing, guess what? You get the same old results. So if we want the scores to go up to the 90% mark, we need to make just a few changes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. That was really loud, and I like a bit of paper, I think. Any questions for Jonathan?
Yeah.
The question for you was on the point you made about how to open a conversation and then have the upsell. One of the problems and I found that my staff was, they were reluctant to push anything, even though you had tried to persuade them to do it. How do you get around that?
It's about asking great questions. So it's about asking them.
I'm talking about not asking questions, but how do you get staff, how do you motivate them to actually upsell?
So you can have competitions, is one way of doing it. So internally you can have a product that you want to push. Do you have certain lines you want to push on certain days or certain... Well, you're a target, yeah. So one way is actually to have an internal competition on certain lines and certain products. So let's say, for example, well, you know, good one's turkeys, isn't it? They start talking about turkeys now, and you set a goal for the week. You want to sell 50 or 100 turkeys this week.
If we hit the goal, what we're going to do is you get some competition. Every time I sell a turkey by going, tick a